Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/Ghostbusters.
We're ready to leave you.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. So this is RPG from Scratch. It's a podcast about a bunch of nerds who love tabletop role-playing games and decide to make their own. We're also going to create a campaign, and you get to listen to us play it. So I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Max Wessel.
Hello.
Doug Banks.
Hello.
What? You can't do that.
And Liam Malone.
Howdy doody.
Okay.
It's like a chorus. We build up.
Then they won't recognize my voice.
Well, not if we plan it out and learn harmony.
They'll be surprised every time Liam speaks and it's not with two other people talking.
Ooh, what can we do?
Good, that makes me happy.
Let's do this. Hello.
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 Hi. So, I want to go around the table real quick and we're going to talk about who we are and what kind of games we played, what kind of games we run, and some games that we've created before this. Let's start with Max. What tabletop role-playing games have you played?
I have played D&D. I have played Star Wars.
Which Star Wars?
Both versions.
Okay.
There's three now.
It's too many versions.
I've only played two Star Wars. One of them that I killed all the other players.
Like as a player or as a DM?
As a player.
Okay.
No, as a real-life person.
Yeah. I was role-playing, and they did not appreciate my role-play. So that was Star Wars Saga, Star Wars... I called it D6, but I guess it's just Star Wars RPG.
I think it is the D6.
Yeah.
If you call it D6, they'll know. It was West End Games.
And then I run a Harry Potter game that I wrote.
Yeah, and you made that system.
I made the system, and it works because nobody knows how to play. So they don't know.
They don't know you're making it up on the fly.
And they also don't know how to pick better fantasy novels. So, you know, it all balances out.
Burn.
So, Doug, tell us a little bit about the games you played.
Well,
Oh, sorry. No, you got to do it at the same time.
Okay.
Well, the first one I ever played was D&D 4th Edition. That's the only version of D&D that I have played, and it's cool, and I like it. I've also played Call of Cthulhu, the Warhammer D20 RPG.
Which, Dark Heresy?
No, this wasn't 40K. This was like regular Warhammer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a fantasy Warhammer. That was cool, but it was the first time I used like a D100.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like weird one-off experiences.
That's
like
a
here
huge
and there.
Die.
Yeah.
Yeah. other ones that focus more on the storytelling aspect, like Fiasco and a few others. But I also run the Ghostbusters RPG for Nerdy Show, which is a D6 West End Games one.
Yay. Yeah.
Hooray.
I forgot about Dread.
How was it? Was good?
Very good. I based my game on an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch I watched a long time ago. And nobody realized until like halfway through. So.
Until the cat started talking.
Oh my God. If you guys haven't heard the Ghostbusters Resurrection show, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this in addition to the other podcast we run called Bad Storytellers. Like, we all like to DM, and Doug is great at it, so you should listen.
Thank you. And that's a high compliment. Considering, fun fact, if you go listen to the very first episode of Ghostbusters Resurrection, that's the very first time I ever DM'd anything in my life. So if you listen to it, I get progressively quieter because I keep inching away from the table as the night went on. And it was also the first time I edited a podcast. So there, enjoy that as well.
Is it based off the old crappy Ghostbusters or the new good one? mostly.
The old crappy one.
You
completely flipped my brain. I don't know how to respond to
like,
that.
You know, like the new funny one, not the old, like...
Not funny one? Yeah. by new one, you mean the one that came out in 1984, not the original 1970s Ghostbusters cartoon and also live-action reenactment. So yes, I would agree, that newer funny one.
Liam, what kind of tabletop RPGs have you played?
I started with 3.5 D&D, played some Pathfinder, moved to 4th edition, enjoyed it a whole bunch, ran my first couple of games of that. I've done Deadwood, Call of Cthulhu. I like Delta Green more than regular Call of Cthulhu, too.
What is that?
Call of Cthulhu, only set in modern days, and you're the Men in Black, and you're trying to, like, keep everyone from realizing stuff's crazy.
Well, that's really cool.
It's
really
fun. Men in Black, you're more like M16 carrying Men in Black.
The idea that half your party dies every playing session isn't weird. They're like, oh no, everyone is replaceable. You're the G.I. Joes of like...
So like RIPD?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and I homebrewed a couple of things like Armistice and The Void.
Armistice is a modern-esque fantasy setting.
The pulps, that's where it draws the most from, like noir
great.
and
I'd like to know more like that. About
and
that.
And then The Void is...
He's developed it with Max, if you haven't caught on.
And then The Void is based on the same kind of like math system, but it's all 60s and 70s sci-fi.
Okay. Have you ever run an amazing Star Wars game?
No, never.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Have you ever run a bad Star Wars game?
Yes, several. There's always a fucking Wookiee.
I'm such a huge Star Wars fan, I've never played or run one, and I'm dying to run the new Edge of the Empire. Even though it's not new anymore, but it's new to me.
Doug?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever run a Star Wars game, just if I you can think of me.
I want to play one, though.
Hey, guys, we can make one.
A Star Wars game?
Well, we can make the system and then set it in Star Wars.
I'll run it.
All right. Well, how do you improve upon the one that you were just glowing about?
Exactly everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
What?
As for me, I've played a lot of tabletop RPGs and a lot of tabletop games, and I've played Dungeons & Dragons 3.5, Pathfinder, Starfinder now, and D&D 4th Edition. Played Call of Cthulhu on the Nerdy Show Network, which we'll probably be releasing sometime later this year. I play Ghostbusters with Doug. He's a great DM. He's very good. Star Wars Saga Edition. Liam has DM'd for me for that. As far as DMing, I've only DM'd D&D 4th Edition and this game that we are creating.
But you're my favorite DM.
Oh, thanks, man. You can slide into my DMs anytime you want. So what we want to do with this podcast is we started creating a game a while ago, and we kind of fell off of it due to life duties, but we're in a position now where we can start doing it again. What we want to do is make tabletop RPGs, and not just one. We want to build a bunch of them. Our biggest gripes come from the systems that we're most familiar with, which would be Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder and Star Wars Saga Edition and the D20 systems, even D20 Modern. Especially
D20 Modern.
So we want to build a system to satisfy our woes with those first, and then we're going to move on to more abstract and maybe resource management ones and ones that don't use dice, maybe ones that only use one die. But first, we want to deal with our D20 woes. So we're going to create a system where it pulls the best of what we like from other systems, and then we play test it and then change those rules on the fly into our own kind of homebrew thing. So our biggest complaint about Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and its derivatives is that the things that are meant to encourage role playing, they make things feel for us a little too rigid. But what we like is the tactical combat of 4th edition, where there's a simple set of rules and then each ability is just a unique exception to the basic rules. We also don't like how class systems work traditionally in Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and that kind of thing. It's too hard to multi-class. I think the best version of this we saw was in Star Wars Saga Edition, where it wasn't that big of a penalty, but there was still a penalty.
It's also the same in D20 Modern, which is the thing they stole it from.
Well, we're not going to steal it, but we're going to do something different. And we're going to call them paths. And you have a core path. It is an exception to the game rules specific to that path. And then there are steps down that path you take that act like leveling up in a class, but you can go to anyone you want after you pick your core. But you have to take the previous step until you take the next step. And the way that you can take a step down an extra path or upgrade your attributes or learn new skills or professions or things like that is you're going to spend a resource called momentum. And momentum is the core mechanic of this game that makes it different from every other system we played, with the exception of maybe Ghostbusters.
It's close, but it's still different.
Right. It's close to the brownie point system of Ghostbusters. So as a quick rundown, before we do any playtesting or world building or anything like that, the way this game works is that for anything you want to do, you pick up a die 20 and you have something that adds to that roll. So you roll a d20. If it lands on a 15, your character has things that add to that score. So if something has a difficulty of 20, your skills or attributes or something needs to add up to 5 or higher for you to succeed on that check. you earn momentum as you play the game. And momentum is, it started off as an abstract to represent how important your character was to the story of your campaign, but it controls and augments everything.
It's the force.
Well, I like the fact that when you called it momentum, the idea is like you gain momentum, and the more momentum you have, the more of a wrecking ball you can become.
So the few mechanical things it does is you can spend as many momentum points as you wish to add that many die sixes to the result of a roll. And that's supposed to represent a story moment. And it's that way if you fail, too. So if you spend momentum and you still fail the roll, it is a epic fail. I mean, it's a big deal, a cataclysm, or something happens where, you know, your weapon might break or a hole might open in the floor and your leg falls in, you know, things like that. They're big deals.
But it brings role playing back into the forefront of what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Especially like in the middle of a combat situation, whereas like in fourth edition, we're just like looking at it like, all right, trying to plan this. And it would have to be like a planned story moment otherwise. But the idea of spending momentum, like in the middle of a crazy thing like that, means this fight just got more epic unexpectedly.
Yeah. And what I'm looking forward to is when you guys spend it while we're playtesting this, is that, you know, he's like, okay, I want to do this ability and I want to spend two momentum. It's like, dude, okay, tell me about it. What's going on? And you're like, I want this to happen and do this and this. And you spend it, you still fail. We're like, okay, here we go.
Here's what's
this is what happens instead. Yeah, it's going
to
be cool.
But the way you earn momentum is by being your character to the best that you can be.
So if you come up with something for your character and you have a really cool story moment, so a role-playing interaction between your character and an NPC or even between your characters goes down well, the DM can reward you with momentum right there. Like, oh, there you go. Plus two momentum to the both of you.
You said something funny. You're a funny guy. Great.
And you keep gaining it all the time. If you guys complete a scene, which is D&D, they call them encounters, and they split them into skill encounters and combat encounters, and I say, let's get rid of the split. We're gonna design things around maintaining this.
The encounter.
Exactly. Yeah. And we did this all the time when we were playing D&D. We had one where a lady was giving birth and you guys had to alternate heal checks on her.
That was scary.
Yeah. Which the adventure paths and stuff like that in Pathfinder and the pre-made adventures, the modules, they will do that for you. But it's not, you don't pick up the monster manual and see that.
Yeah, it's not in the system. It's not in the DNA.
Right.
Well, and I'm partial to the idea of when you're planning out your campaign as a DM, you're suddenly focusing more on what the story is going to be because you're thinking, all right, what's the scene here? What's the point? Instead of just, all right, and at that point, the door opens and the monster comes out. And what does the book say the good amount of minions would be for the number of players I have playing? And it's like a numbers game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Which I would like a general guideline to be able to give people on.
Yeah, you should have the option to do that.
Yeah.
But the idea of like saying, all right, but the focus should be back on the role play because that's why you're here at the table.
Right. So you're not gaining levels in the same way. You're gaining steps down paths and that kind of thing. But the benefit of momentum is that you can create a character from scratch that day. They have nowhere near the experience of the other characters in your campaign. But because you have the ability to spend momentum and earn momentum quickly, you can play on the same stage as they can.
Or you could make an entire character who are like, I'm just going to work on stats.
Yep.
He's got one path. He does one thing, but he does it real well.
So if you're listening to this, you should know that we tried this before and we created it and we've done playtests already and we learned a lot. We're going to discuss a couple mechanics here about things I want to change. So right now we're calling this the amped system because that's what our attributes spell out. I want to throw a couple others at you guys.
Other potential names?
Yeah, other potential names.
Oh, shit.
I like the amped system, but it has the Mountain Dew and Dorito connotation that maybe we want to stay away
get
from.
Amped.
Yeah, you better get amped. And I don't think that's appropriate for every setting we're going to throw at this thing.
Okay.
So the attributes in question are acumen, which is like your intelligence, might, presence, which is like charisma plus wisdom, endurance, and dexterity. So that's amped. We have two other options I think that are reasonable. We have the ideas system, which is intelligence, dexterity, endurance, affluence, strength.
All right, okay.
All
right.
But it also is a little frou-frou.
Yeah.
Do you have a better idea for a name?
Actually, this just makes me think of the Tick.
So, sorry.
What's your big idea?
Yeah. Okay.
We thought we would steal a bunch of money and then we'd be rich and then we wouldn't have to work anymore.
Well, that is a good idea.
Well, can't argue with that. I put one in and I got a word back that's not a word. It's dices. So, because dice is already plural, you put an S on it. How about S dice?
S dice?
The S dice system.
Just the letter S, then dice.
Yeah. So, S dash dice.
What would be the S stand for? That?
The breakdown is strength, dexterity, intelligence, charisma, endurance.
But what would you say, like, you know, title-wise, what does the S stand for in S dice? I know super. What it literally stands for it is stands, for strength.
It's, but it stands for super.
Super dice system?
It stands for special.
Special
it stands
dice.
For...
Single dice system, if you're only rolling the 1d20 and then you just add the numbers onto it on top, unless you're spending momentum.
Does it have to stand for something?
No, but it'd just be fun.
It helps.
How do you guys feel about S dice?
Yeah.
I like it.
It'd be fun to have a
It's got dice in the name.
Yeah.
It's about dice.
I'm into it.
Special dice, sexy dice. You know what? The S is up to you.
Scratch.
Scratch dice?
Yeah.
RPG from scratch.
They're the scratch dice.
Shit!
This is the scratch dice system.
You may have got it.
All right. All right. So we did a playtest. We'll probably release that to people, to patrons, as well as all of the other building notes that we went through for all the other episodes.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, the playtest was great. But we also did 3 additional playtests off air. And from that, we got a lot of feedback, and I had a lot of thoughts. I DM'd all of them. I'm going to run by some mechanics changes with you guys. So I want melee weapons to feel unique, each kind. And we had a mechanic in place for that, and it's fine. But the problem is, as you gain a plus to your roll, the difference between them stops mattering. So I thought, we got 3 different kinds of attacks. We got bashing, cutting, and stabbing or piercing, right? For those 3 melee attacks, tell me your guys' thoughts on this. A good way to make them feel unique is if something happens with your die roll. So I think bashing weapons, if you miss, you still do your strength as damage.
If you miss the attempt to hit somebody?
Yeah.
So like if I'm throwing fists, that counts as bashing, and I miss you, why do I have to roll my strength?
You're not rolling your strength.
Well, I was going to say, here's the thing. I think proficiency should be something that is coveted. Like, you want to punch somebody,
yeah.
You're not proficient with your fists.
Okay.
Like, you're just not. You're not proficient. You have to get proficiency with them, but it's like a path or something.
Sure.
Yeah. So, to get that property, you have to be proficient with it. The reason you would do your strength as damage is because you didn't do your damage, but you still probably landed a blow. It's much harder to physically miss with a bashing weapon because you don't have to angle the blade the right way.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, it's you're probably still going to run into them and strike them. It just wasn't as effective.
What if you miss with a bash, it would be an involuntary move in the direction you're swinging, which could put you in a bad place.
What if you miss all the time? Then you're just scooting everywhere.
Yeah. But if you're proficient, shouldn't you be so proficient that you wouldn't just launch yourself into the direction of the enemy? Like,
yeah. I think it's a good compromise to try.
Sure.
I don't think it'll be too overpowered because we don't give people a ton of strength. And for another reason that I'll run by you guys, I think stabbing weapons should crit on a roll of 1 or 20.
So just 2 chances to crit?
2 chances to crit, but also it removes one of your lowest rolls. It's better than just rolling a 19 to 20, because if you roll a 1, you don't miss either.
That's not bad.
I think it's great because it's, yeah, I got your liver and oops, I cut off your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you're talking about the piercing, right?
Like, yeah. This,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that, because even if you don't pierce the most vital body organs, like if you just pierce someone through the shoulder, that still hurts like a motherfucker, and it's going to stop you from, you know, from doing stuff. So that I can see that making sense.
Okay, and then the last one is cutting, which I'm thinking of, we just call chopping, and I'm thinking it's almost, you can call it chop them down
or slicing or
what? Well, I think chopping, because the each consecutive hit adds +1 to your next roll, maxing out at +2.
Okay.
And I think that puts it on par with the other 2. Because critting is better, but if you know you have a +2 to your next roll, you may do something better.
It also has a secondary effect of making it more likely that you're going to focus on a single target.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm still iffy on is for a bashing, even if you miss. Because, like, what if you're just facing an enemy that's super... You're fighting the Flash. You're just never going to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm punching him, I'm still going to land a punch on the Flash, even if I miss?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Every creature and every power is about ignoring things. You just make it part of a path or part of a creature's ability. Like, you ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
And they have things like, there's a rule in 4th edition that for minions, which are enemies that only have 1 HP, is that a missed attack never damages a minion.
Yes.
We could do something similar like that. I do kind of want to test it, because I'm worried it may be too strong or way too weak. Because when we played our playtest, it was too hard to hit enemies, and you guys had too good of a chance to hit as well. And it's just an upward fight to how much you can add to that number. And I think that excludes newer characters from playing with you. I would like you to feel rewarded for your experience, but not like you're way out of the realm of, you know, somebody who just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Random chance should be king, but you should be stacking the stuff in your favor as much as possible. So I'm thinking, what if your intelligence and your dexterity add to something called your dodge? And that's what you roll to hit against.
So your dodge is always automatically calculated based on those 2 stats.
Yeah, it's 10 okay. plus your 10 plus your dodge is your dodge rating.
Okay.
And then armor just reduces damage. So like light armor could reduce it by 1 point. Medium could be 2 and heavy could be 4. And then you get a heavy shield and it's extra 2. So somebody who goes full Citadel, which is our tank path, takes 6 less damage on every attack. Now, they may have a low dodge rating, but if you get attacked by a swarm of rats, he's taking no damage because he wouldn't.
He's in
full riot gear. Why would he worry about rats as much as the guy who's wearing robes? But yeah. it's not like they have a harder time hitting him.
Yeah, but it's just you just shake it off.
Yeah,
that's not bad. Yeah,
yeah.
We can play with it. These are things I want to try because to make things more difficult for the playtest, I just kept ramping up the numbers and didn't feel like that was the right way to do it.
The JRPG problem.
Yeah.
Well, I like that it's simple enough that if you're deciding to go that route with your character, once you know what armor you're wearing, you're just like, all right, how much does he hit me for? Okay, I'm fine. Like, there's like no math involved. Like, you just know immediately.
How would the dodge, the two numbers come together? Pick the higher one or?
No, I think it's average you add them.
You still have to hit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you add them together.
So you just add them together and that's your dodge?
Yeah. Okay. So like you
could. Oh, your modifier, not your stat.
Right. So with the array of stats that we use at character creation, the highest dodge somebody can have is 17, which I think is fine. So you could potentially make a Citadel character who has 17 to dodge, but you're kind of missing out on some other stuff. You're never going to hit anybody with anything. I was also thinking like a way we could play around with the tanking class, because one of Liam's biggest complaints is you don't feel like you were doing enough when you were playing as one.
Yeah.
Maybe we can make it so that most of their utility and the way that they get enemies to target them is through immediate reactions to things. Like they get in the thick of shit and they will punish you for misstepping. They probably don't do as much damage as somebody else, but you're more likely to get hit by them. Also, and this may be the biggest change that I want to test, I want to change from square grid to hex grid.
Oh, you're insane. Ooh.
Heresy.
And here's my reasoning. Hex grid, every square is exactly the same distance.
Yes.
So you travel 6 squares in any direction.
It's
always the same distance. If you want to judge the distance diagonally with squares, you've actually moved further across the map. But with a hex, that's not an issue. Also, making blast areas circular is much easier with hex.
Yeah.
Also, triangular with cones. You can only make a triangle in 4 directions look like a triangle with a square grid. So I'd like to try that. I think it will also do the job of making Path of the Citadel more effective because there are only 6 spots to stand around the tank instead of 8.
What about things for like aerial damage where it's like you have a storm, it's an area effect surrounding the player in a 6 squared cube? So it's like above you and on.
We don't make it a cube.
You could still make a cube with hex. And also, if you bisect a hex through the middle, you get straight lines all the time. And that's people's biggest complaint is that houses are easier to draw. Like in dungeons, everything's on a square layout. So I want to try it.
Well, it's worth trying. This is what the whole freaking show's about.
I want to try it.
We'll try it and say, you know what? Don't work. Never mind. Throw it out. That's the whole point.
Let's think outside the box.
Or it could even be a system where like, here's what we gain from it. It's also a pain in the ass for this reason.
Right.
Or like it doesn't add enough. But you know, I'm totally willing to go hex.
All right. Here's another thing. And this is a big one. This is not a big change because we didn't have a rule for this in place. But here's something I want to introduce. Are you guys familiar with chaos magic? The idea of it?
Yes.
The masturbatory kind or the other?
The masturbatory kind.
Okay.
Which is...
In that case, no.
Now, what Max means is that how chaos magic is understood, and I know I'm going to butcher this, each ritual is kind of ad hoc. You kind of create it to suit your needs. So our characters, the magical abilities they get in their paths is almost spontaneous. They can cast from their body. It doesn't require a ritual, but we lose out on some cool ritual stuff that you can do in D&D. But even then, those are a huge pain in the ass. Like, what if your campaign is in the mountains and you need some fucking regent, you know, some grass that's nowhere near there? Like, you just can't do the ritual, period, the end. What if we do something, and this is just an idea, I want to play with it, or if you guys have something better, please like let me know. What if you come up with something you want to do? You're like, I want to mind control the king so that when this guy comes to hear from him, he sends him to the dungeon. He's like, okay, well, that's really tough. One, because the king's far away.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because mind controlling anybody is really fucking difficult. Three, he's acting contrary to his nature. It's not like you're just doing something
that he'd want to do anyway.
Yeah. So let's say the distance makes it a difficulty of 100. The fact that you're making somebody act contrary to their nature, it's going to add 200. So we're at 300 now. And also, just because mind control is hard, add another 100. So we're at a difficulty of 400. You're going to have to roll 400 on a d20. That's impossible.
This isn't impossible.
Right. I know what you're thinking, Doug. That's impossible.
How could it be done?
You just put an extra zero here and bam, 400.
We could just get more dice.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. What if you're like, well, how would we do this? Let's start researching the king. What do we know about him? What's this and that? Like, can we get a personal item of his? Okay, you get a personal item. And how close to him it is lowers the score by a certain amount. You're like, okay, well, this area is no good. What if we go to an area that's very magically charged? We go to that area. It's going to reduce it by another 50. And you keep adding this until it's possible to beat the check with a d20 roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your party together. You guys perform the ritual. And when you roll the d20, all of you have to spend one momentum. And if it fails big. But it makes it a quest instead of just, oh, yeah, I've got this scroll. You know,
right.
Like, this is a scroll that summons a bird that flies, you know.
I think that's a very great example, but also very specific. What about simple, just like, I mean, the idea of the chaos magic, like, what about just a simple fireball spell? Like, how does that work? Is it just an innate thing?
Do you mean like a fireball in combat?
Yeah, just like, well, a simple, yeah.
Our fire mage has spontaneous magic.
Okay.
He summons it from himself.
So in other words, you're talking about...
He's not asking for a favor from the universe.
Right. And so but you're talking about more of like off-the-book magic, where you're like, I want to do something that we don't know how to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would like the idea that magic in our system or in this setting was discovered like 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you can now change the nature of reality.
You can hack it. Life
hack. Exactly. You're almost hacking reality. So there's very, very chaos magic ideas. And you together create a ritual, and then the ritual becomes almost a quest in itself. Even then, it's not easy. You know, you might be getting attacked while you're performing it.
Sure.
I kind of want to add that as a separate path, just like chaos hacking.
So in theory, you say the big bad is over at Castle Grayskull.
Yes.
And he's going to raise up all the zombies in the world. And you got a month, you know, before everyone's dead.
And for him, he's at that castle because that's the best place to raise zombies based on its innate properties. Yeah.
So you're like, all right. And your mage is like, all right, I want to figure out a way to get inside his head and make him kill himself. He's going to fall on his own knife.
All right. That would be
insane.
No, I know. That, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go with it. You know.
4 million.
Yeah.
But I have his toothbrush.
I have his toothbrush, found the cottage where he was born. Yeah. It's a shithole of a place. And it's like, now granted, that sounds hella fun, you know.
Yeah. Great. That sounds amazing.
I'll just go with that logic of we collect it all. Do we run the risk of having a short campaign? I mean, not like one-off, but like, does that risk shortening it, or does it suddenly become the story of the mage convincing friends to go collect stuff?
That's a good question. I think, well, because it's so difficult.
Sure.
To do that.
You may just say, you know what, fuck that. We can't even do that.
Like, yeah, or you get to a point where like... So here's the problem, is that because...
Where it would be easier to summon a meteor to destroy the castle.
What I'm really trying to get to is just like, at what point do you say, you know what... That would be great if you could do that, but it's just so difficult. We should move on. But meanwhile, it's like a numbers game where it's like, okay, well, how do we increase the odds? You know what I'm saying? It's like, at what point does the role playing say, you know what, we should just be role playing this and not like min-maxing the possibilities? Although I love the idea of like,
well, I feel, you know, like
hacking nature.
How can you say that one's role playing and the other one isn't?
If you're the wizard and it's your idea that you want to do this and you start going off and trying to figure out how to do it and everyone else is sort of like, I don't know, is that possible? I don't really know magic. You know, so you know what I mean?
I think that you just described how characters interact.
Sure. No, sure. I'm just,
I don't know.
But in a magical world, why would there be a warrior who's like, I don't know anything about magic, don't care. If it can add to your power, why? That's our whole system.
At any point, you
Max,
can...
how many people in this world right now know on a very basic level how an internal combustion engine works?
But how does that help them? Does it help them in a fight? No, I just went to the mechanic.
No, but it helps
today.
Them because they have cars.
I went to the mechanic. I paid
how
them
many
the
cops
money.
Know
he
how
gave
to
me
fight.
My car.
Yeah, how many people know how to fight in general?
No, yeah. You know, you're like, in a world of magic, why wouldn't everyone know magic?
No, if it can help you.
In a world where people know that what you eat and drink is either good or bad for you, why do people still do bad things?
Well, here's the thing.
So you've just answered your question.
But I'm saying Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
If he could learn to shoot a fireball, why the fuck would he not?
Well, probably because it's difficult.
He went down all the steps of the path of the champion.
Yeah, but our world is open. I'm saying...
You're just like, dude, you became a master chef. All right, well, how about you learn to play the guitar? Well,
yeah, why aren't you a nuclear physicist?
Dude, you get way more... Dude, you get way more pussy if you were just a rock star. Why don't you just do that instead?
In our system... You're not locked into the one thing.
Right.
There's no one who's like, well, I don't care about magic. I don't want to help. If it can help you, I feel like learning more would...
Well, but how much do you know about finance? That can actively help you right now.
I know a lot.
And you're just not choosing
international.
To do it.
Yeah, it's...
But
I'm the perfect human being.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Survival, there's a difference between...
You can eventually... Well, the
guy in our world needs to survive fights all the time.
Yes.
No.
I don't need to survive. I sit on my couch all day.
I don't agree that the guy in our world needs to survive fights all the time.
Well, I'm saying specifically a warrior.
If you just play, you decide to role play some dumb hick who's never seen magic before because he grew up on a dirt farm.
Yeah, but you're saying,
or a guy who walks up to a wizard and then puts a pointy thing in him. He's like, oh, he's dead now. Oh, I won that fight. I'm so good at pointy stick,
and I would imagine
that I don't need to be good at magic.
But there'd I was kind of playing off what Doug was saying.
Well, I'd imagine there'd be good things where, like, the wizard could be like, I set him on fire. Ha ha. Let's see you do that. And the archer just puts an arrow through his eye. He's like, is he any more dead than that guy? What's the difference? Are you immune to arrows? I don't think so. Like, you wasted your time learning all this magical bullshit.
Yeah, let's see you do that when it's raining.
Yes.
It's like, I can kill that man from way over here with a fireball. Yeah, I can kill him with an arrow in any weather.
I can do it, man. Well, unless it's really windy.
Then I guess the fireball is the same.
Or dark.
Yeah.
You could shoot the ground near him and see him and then shoot him.
It's just like you just do it and as soon as you hear, hey, what the hell was that noise? There he is.
I don't have to ask the universe for a favor to do it.
Yeah. To play into that question, I want to do some basic world building.
Do we have wind magic?
Not yet.
Because I think it would be funny to have an archer and the mage in the back is just using wind just to fuck with the archer.
No. Super launching his arrows. Just like,
yeah
he throws it off target. It's like, how difficult would that be?
Or just incoming arrows. Just.
So our setting is high fantasy, and we wanted to veer off of Tolkien, but we still included dwarves and orcs. And I say, fuck that. Let's make them different.
Who are the dwarves?
The Gelts.
No, they're not dwarves.
I think...
They're not even short.
So they live underground. They are short.
I changed that.
You changed that?
Now they live in an iceberg.
Drew a picture of an iceberg where they live in. Well, what if they're a different burrowing mammal other than burrowing humans?
Like a mole?
Like a mole or a rabbit or a prairie dog.
The only problem is moles, super weak outside of the ground.
Yeah, but what if these guys weren't? I mean, humans are super weak everywhere.
Are we?
Yeah. Yeah, we're terrible. I watched this video about barefoot running, and this guy's like, Usain Bolt is amazing, and he's a terrible runner in terms of speed compared to everything else in nature. He would lose to a squirrel.
Our kneecap are not backwards.
You go 12 miles in any direction, including up or down, and we're just not going to live there. We really only thrive in very specific conditions.
But, okay, so what about something based on moles, something based on rabbits?
What about badgers? Badgers live in the ground, and they're badass.
All right, so mustelids. Is that how you say it? Mustelid? Hold on.
Furry mammals.
I've only ever read that word.
Me too. Let's look up mustelid.
Like bears almost? Like a bear, man bear pig? Is that what we're talking about?
No, we're talking about a badger.
Mole bear man?
Who do you think would win? A bear-sized badger?
I think a bear-sized... But we got the fucking...
Mustelid. Mustelid. Okay. I like badgers. So how about just mustelids in general? We get wolverines, we get badgers, we get skunks.
Tasmanian devils.
Is that true?
Are they marsupials or mustelids?
I don't know if they're marsupials.
Hold on. Let's look this up.
They're from Tasmania.
Let's put this in the fucking bud right now.
I answer this question once and for all.
What if they're possums?
No, they're not possums.
No.
Dude, Tasmania devils, like the real ones,
are terrifying,
shit.
Yeah.
Carnivorous marsupial.
Whoa. The weird thing is they don't actually spin.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh, I was thinking wombats, too. Wombats would have been a good one.
Oh, yeah, but those are cute.
Yeah, but they could be cute. Well, anyway, skunks are cute. Let's do mustelids. And
would skunks be like the mages?
No, they're the airbenders. No.
Okay, so our Gelts are mustelids.
Yes.
All right, we're happy. Orcs. We already said they were more like gorillas. I kind of want to veer away from ape now. Because here's my thinking. World building.
Mm-hmm.
what if this planet is Earth?
Okay.
Okay.
And it is 2 million years from now.
All right.
And the people who had technology left. They are the gods.
Mm-hmm. Like they, all the losers left behind.
What if all the races that are around here are the result of some waste that was left behind that is just like evolutionary power?
Whatever, mm-hmm. Sure.
Cool.
Does that work?
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay.
Like an ooze?
Our races are fish, mustelid.
Crocodilian.
Bat. Yeah.
Crocodilian, bat, and humans, and we have gorillas. But
gorillas and they're both apes, so it's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
And, what about and baboons?
I like gorillas because they would be other than chimps, would be the first people that we tried to...
rise up?
We tried to experiment on.
Well, but we communicate with gorillas with sign language and shit, so...
Yeah, I mean, if all you want to know is whether or not apple nipple hungry, then...
just saying, you know. It's yeah. Like, we tried. That's, you know.
Yeah. R.I.P. Coco.
Yeah, R.I.P.
And Amy from Congo, I'm just assuming.
Been a while. Yeah,
I forgot about she had that giant arm that would talk. Yeah. Okay, so we
it's been a while. I'm just assuming for the fucking non-existing. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's dead. Oh, yeah. She's dead.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Go confirmed it. She died in 2002 from a drug overdose.
Oh, I was there at that party actually.
Listen, if Crichton's dead, she's dead. That's the rule. What are some land creatures that could be orcish?
That could be organized.
Baboons, I'll say again.
That's just more, that's no. More the splinter of the apes.
Yeah, but they're not
I mean,
apes.
They're not apes, but they're like splintered off. It's
I
just,
do like baboons, though.
They're monkeys.
Well, gnolls are hyenas. Those are pretty badass.
Yeah.
What about wild African dogs?
Ooh, yeah.
Because they're very smart.
They're very crazy, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm.
It'd be funny if man's best friend became like a...
like assholes.
Just straight up wolves wouldn't even work.
Wolves isn't bad.
Pack based.
We talked about bears before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like...
Bears are very solitary.
Yeah.
So were our orcs before they learned to organize.
True. Yeah.
Bears, just all the, super mutant bears in the future that just say, we're stronger together. You're fucking scared.
I was going to say, that's...
Bears united is
that's
terrifying.
A real fear I have of now, is that bears just started organizing.
It's a planet of the bears instead of planet of the apes.
There's so many stories of people just, like, shooting bears a bunch, and the bears are like...
Look, bears are
don't care. Right.
Bears are both too big and too scary. So are moose. Let's take them off.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I will have fucking
the only
nightmare.
Thing scarier than running into a bear in the woods is running into two bears in the woods.
And a moose.
You are not wrong.
What about
for me, it's running into a baby bear because then you know you're fucked.
Oh, you're fucked.
Yeah, you are.
What? Because
so
the baby
fucked.
Bear is gonna fuck you?
No, mom is nearby.
She's gonna kill you.
But the thing about bears, let's say you have this race of advanced bears, right? They come in.
Let's just say.
No, I'm with you.
They're pillaging, doing all that, right? You just gotta wait till winter when they hibernate.
That's true.
It kind of ruins them as a menace.
They could have evolved out past of that.
with
agriculture and clothing.
I mean, humans didn't hibernate, but we evolved out of the cold being our weakness.
Yeah, yeah. About not doing stuff in winter.
What are some other...
I just think it would be funny if you couldn't play that character in...
You had to go with it.
Just like hamsters? No hamster role-playing.
It's hibernation.
Hamster.
No. Hibernation meditation.
All right, we need scary...
Scary land animal.
Animal.
It doesn't even have to start off as scary.
No, yeah. It can get there.
Fox.
What's interesting? That's more canid.
Yeah.
I don't mind wolves. I think that's a good one, but except for...
It's a little too furry. This is a little too... It makes it too easy with you got humans and you got talking dogs and you got... You know what I mean? It's just
I mean, like, lightning dog's already covering that, so we don't need...
There's no humans in that. So it's like, you know...
masters.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of, like, what... But, like, something that's a little unexpected. Because, I mean, crocodilians, that's unexpected.
Yeah.
Now you got mole people and the badgers, whatever. That's unexpected.
Lions?
Cat people, maybe, you know, like feline people.
Again, that's more than furry.
It's a little too familiar.
Yeah.
Like, what's strange, you know? Like, what's...
Fucking penguins.
That's why I say bears are... penguins.
Bears just scare me. I think... Here's the problem. If bears just stood upright and started a society and decided to wage war...
It's terrifying!
We would just lose. Like, humans don't stand a chance, which is... The opposite of what we want. We want
a stand a chance. Okay, yeah, you want a good. No, you're
we want a good rising power of like. It
like,
makes sense.
Gorillas are stronger. Gorillas are stronger than we are.
Yeah.
But we have a couple advantages where we could beat them if we ran far enough. They can't keep up.
Sure.
We could run them to death. We could use a spear. Whatever. You could kill a gorilla.
Ah, shit! I feel like we're on the verge of like
bison.
Come on, we need to get our zoology caps on.
Rhinos?
Ooh.
I do like the African wild dogs.
Bebop and Rhapsody.
Better than wolves, yeah. Even.
I do like those better than dogs. The bison bovine thing.
What about something with horns? Like a
Marco cow.
Marco Polo ram or something.
Like a yak.
Goat is actually kind of fun.
About something I that like came goat. Out of the ocean.
Very goats, satanic.
Where do they live?
There's a bunch of Baphomets running around.
That'd
like
be fucking sweet.
What happened to dolphins?
That's not a land animal.
They were at one point.
Yeah, they went into the ocean. Why can't they come back out?
Well, the Simpsons. We did. Yeah. Because we won't let them. That's why.
Damn
get
right.
The fuck back in there.
Humans are the best.
Yeah, I think
we're the worst,
that.
Depending on how
we're
you
trying
look
to build something close to them.
Nothing matters.
Tough.
In a nihilist point of view, humans.
You already got a reptilian.
Hippos is too.
No,
and they're already done.
I almost want to shy away from like herbivores, even
more like omnivores.
Omnivore,
like a bear
predator.
Yeah, bear would be good.
What was the list of omnivores?
Orcs is already like pigs, like in a lot of fiction.
Ooh, yeah. I'm okay with pigs.
Pigs would be fucking.
I'm really into pigs.
Pigs are like as smart as dogs. And if pigs,
I'm really kind of into pigs.
And pigs got them tusks. And if pigs got as intelligent and organized,
so like warthogs, wild boars,
they have
an kind of
pigs would have an axe to grind.
Javelina.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, pigs.
This is something like boar. Yeah,
yeah,
like wild boar.
Yeah, wild
I like
boar.
It. All right, let's come up with a name for them. So we need a name. The Gelt is fine. That's covered. Yeah. So what do we call these boar people?
Did they name themselves? I think
I think they all
juncture.
Name themselves.
They all name themselves. All right.
Then.
That's because you could just like be an invader.
Just oink.
The oinkers.
Something with bristle, tusk.
Oinkenclan. Oh, like fucking.
They're from the family Sudé.
Rescuers Down Under, you call her a Razorback.
Yeah.
Something that's like.
Here's some nonsense sounds. Yagno.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
I'm good.
No. Yeah, no.
Nonsense words is a good starting point, though. Like,
or Bugan.
It's not bad.
I even want to change human next. I'm going to change that to something else.
Now I'm out of here.
No, I mean, the humans stay human, but we call them something else. There's a word, F-U-G, fug. They are the fug.
I mean,
I like that.
That's,
I like the fug.
I like it, but it's too easy.
I'm playing
easy.
A fug.
I'm playing a fug. I'm gonna fug you up.
I kind of like that, though.
I'm good with fug.
We can be stupid fantasy and throw a couple apostrophes in there.
No.
Well, after the
like
F.
An umbra?
Fug.
Instead of fug, what is...
Guff.
What
is, we're the guff.
We're the guff.
Yeah.
Sounds like gruff.
Don't give me
about
no
guff?
Guff.
You want guff?
Two Fs, though.
That's a little... That's
triple Fs, before. Then.
How about with a silent T at the front?
Guffed.
No,
at the front.
At the front.
No, I like it at the end. Guff.
That's almost TGIF, TGUF.
Yeah. All
right, guff.
We can change it any time. Doesn't matter.
Don't give me no guff, okay? Yeah. I don't want to hear any more guff about it.
Tough like the guff.
All right, our orcs are now called the guff.
And they're boar people.
And they're boar people. All right, I like that. Change nothing else about them. And
that's good because they can live pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. What about humans? Let's just have a new name for them.
Yeah.
We want to be able to treat them dispassionately, like a species.
Okay.
So the book I'm writing, we call them the Lokenan. I think that's a little too long. What do we call them? Like, in Willow, they call them Daikini. Yeah. It's a Daikini baby.
It should be something unassuming.
Yeah.
Like the Dun.
Yeah, D-U-N?
D-U-N.
All right, the Dun. We're done with that.
Yeah, we're done.
Well, shouldn't they have...
I'm done.
Like two N's? D-U-N-N?
No. Because well,
we
got guff, which is two F's, and I'm already not a fan of that.
We could get rid of the F. You could get rid of the F.
I'm getting rid of that F right now.
How about G-U-P-H?
Yeah, fine.
I don't know, man. I'm just throwing shit out there.
No, because it looks like when it's written, it looks like goof.
Or golf.
Yeah.
Nah.
All right, guff. Guff and done.
Okay, so T-apostrophe-D-U-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done.
Done.
Actually, why don't we call them the Tolden? T-O-L-D-U-N.
I love it.
Tolden?
Tolden.
Yeah.
Tolden.
Tolden sounds great.
Tolden,
better
so.
Than Dunn.
All right.
It's just tall in front of Dunn.
I think I got two more rule changes, or at least rule ideas I want to throw at you guys. Instead of having a bunch of skills like we had, which is kind of the D&D model, and we try to simplify them and round them down, how about fuck all that? You give somebody one profession to start with, and every role they make related to that profession, they get plus five too. So you say, I'm a doctor and I want to do a heal check. Like, fine, you get plus five. Okay. And then we also have our talents or our specialties. I think you don't get one for every stat. You get three, period. Humans can pick their three.
The Dun?
Yeah, sorry. The Tolden.
The Tolden can
pick whatever three they want. Every other race gets two talents and they pick the third.
Okay.
So the Tolden are picking three, a la carte, just straight up?
Yeah, a la carte. No more than one per attribute. So they'll get to re-roll the die on anything they're talented in.
But the benefit to picking a different race is that you know you're guaranteed to get these two, and then you just pick whatever the third one is?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And you get other bonuses, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's worth trying, because the profession thing, I'm stealing a little bit from Starfinder. They have that kind of, they have like a subspecialization that you get things for, and like my character is an outlaw, so I get plus five to any checks related to crime, and that's cool. But what if it's just across the board, like I'm playing a character and he's a hedge wizard, that's his job, he's employed or like a witch doctor or something like that, so I get plus five to my magic rolls and it's my talent, so I double roll.
But also, like, all right, you're a hedge wizard, so I'm guessing you also know how to like write books and or be a general scribe.
Well I would say you would have to be specific, so like you say like, oh, can you forge this guy's signature? No. Like, I can't do that. Can you write something? Can you write a good letter to somebody? Do that? I really don't know how to do that either. Like, I take notes. I can take dictation as far as that kind of thing.
More of a medicine.
The DM's got to be like, okay, yeah, that fits in your profession. Go ahead.
I like to think, okay, and what would your job? I punch people?
For money.
Sometimes for money.
I was
a pugilist.
Yeah. Pit fighter. A soldier would not get a plus two intimidation, but a pit fighter would.
Yeah. A soldier might be like, oh, you know basic first aid.
Yeah.
I was actually about to bring up first aid, though. Like, if you're, like, a Tiktani doctor, do you know anything about healing anybody?
Good question. Maybe you can be more specific.
I'm a bug.
But maybe, with the Tiktani, they're soloists or whatever we're going to call the people who leave the hive. Maybe they are employed outside of the hive or outside of the chorus as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And a doctor in this fantasy world would have to have kind of a generalized knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, how do veterinarians work, right?
Yeah.
They work on all kinds of animals.
Sure, but like, if you're a Tolden and you're living in a Tolden city and you're just a Tolden doctor, are the other races so common that you find yourself working with them on a regular basis?
That's a great question. I think it's up to your DM, right? Because you're like, oh, I was a doctor. He's like, yeah, but you only worked in a city with a bunch of humans.
Sure.
Like
Tolden.
Yeah, well, Tolden. But, well, I was trained, you know, at this place and I just went to...
Yeah,
you know, so you could
and we all know the anatomy of a Tolden is very similar to the Guff.
Yeah, yeah, it's very like much.
Yeah,
I actually got my degree on Guff cadavers, and
I'm a horse
flesh,
surgeon.
The flesh of a Guff is the closest thing to the flesh of a Tolden. Stab here, that's a kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So,
or even if there's just cannibal races, like no, they taste the same. They taste exactly the same.
Oh, they're delicious.
I feel like the Gelt would live everywhere. Anywhere there's money to make.
I mean, they could.
There would be
guilt. Dude, guilt thieves, like, burrowing into your fucking banks.
Oh, my God.
And Tiktani.
Yeah, and Tiktani. A Tiktani and
Tiktani
guilt.
Are, by the way, Tiktani
team
are the
of thieves.
Also,
hold on. The Tiktani are the bug races of our everything, and they're a collective.
Every race is paired against someone, too, right?
For location.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
My idea. Yeah. I like that, the search engine, though.
Yes. Yeah. Tiktani and...
Capture a bug.
And guilt.
And torture it until it does.
Working together on a heist to just steal the bank out from under the city.
You got all these sapient races. Something that bothered me is that every language in D&D is racial specific.
Yes.
It should be
cultural.
Regional.
Yeah.
You know, where there could be people linked, you know, through...
Like,
so let's make it more like that. Like the different languages. One of my biggest complaints with D&D is the loot system. The fact that it turns everybody into kind of a pack rat.
Yeah.
And or a murder hobo, they call them, where you're just looking through people's gear all the time.
Or
just,
hey, cool hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even have to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. So a way to solve that is to make it so that you can't really carry very much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe inventory is based on a slot system. So like you have an endurance of 3. You get 2 slots in your backpack plus your endurance. And we can talk about what qualifies to go in there. Like a medical kit could take up 1 slot.
I think that sounds fair, but that can get complicated very fast.
Sure, sure. Well, the thing is, if you make the kind of things that people can actually carry on them less desirable,
yeah.
I don't think it becomes that big of an issue, but I want to try it.
And if you're role-playing, you know, a game where you're not the going outdoors adventure-y type guy, you don't have to move fast. You have a house, you have a locker, you store stuff.
That's one of the biggest things I want to talk about. Like, you wouldn't carry all your fucking money on you all the time.
No, that would be insane.
Yeah. You'd go to a bank. If you're going on an expedition, you bring a caravan.
Yes.
Yeah. You hire people and you do all this. Like, you go into a new area and you're like, oh, we don't know anybody, but we know we got to get here. You hire a local guide and they're going to show you how to get there. If you don't speak the language, they're going to speak the language.
Yeah,
exactly.
Camels. Yeah, you would do it that way.
So maybe we can kind of think about it that way. And then, like, even if in combat, like, you got to drop your fucking pack, dude. Like, otherwise, your dodge rating disappears.
So there's no rummaging around in the middle of, like...
No. You got to keep that shit on you if you're ready to fight. Like, you got to move.
And maybe there's an exception for magical casters or someone who uses, like, they would have, like, a combat pack.
Yeah, but you put...
They'd have, like, a sling.
You put 70 pounds in that thing.
No, they wouldn't, you know, it'd be, like, it'd be four potions and, like, a gun.
Exactly.
Like, a crossbow.
So I feel like maybe that's a fun thing to play with. Maybe there's a certain amount of gold that takes up a full slot.
Yeah.
And then, look, man, you got to dump that shit because people are going to take it from you.
We got to figure out the money system, too.
Yeah, like, we haven't done that. I think we can hold on that because we don't even know what things should cost or how to buy them. I feel like we covered a lot of ground today and introduced the podcast. So, guys, if you are interested in playing this game, we are going to be doing a bunch of stuff. We started a wiki. It's RPGFS, so RPG from scratch, but RPGFS.wikia.com. You can go there and you can see all the rules as we upload them and change them. Also, we have a Patreon. And if you donate $1, you get everything. You get all the stuff from the cutting room floor. Anything we find funny, as soon as we release it, you get it. If you set your reward tier to $10, there's only a certain number of people who can claim this reward a month. But you get to design an NPC, including what famous actor or what fictional character they sound like. And then whoever's DMing will find a way to work them in and perform them to the best of their ability, which may be hilariously awful.
Yeah. Hi, I'm bad at voices.
We've got a ton of other rewards on there. Please check it out. It's patreon.com/RPGFS. We're going to be making PDFs. We're going to be sending them out to patrons. Join us. Play the game with us. Let us know what you think. No matter if you donate at all, you can still hop on the Patreon. All of our episodes are going to be posted there as well, and you can comment on them and let us know what you think about the system. That's the easiest way for us to see what you guys think. So our next episode is going to be us meeting with the players. Doug's going to sit this one out. We're going to bring in two guys, one of our friends who you haven't met, and one of them that's on Ghostbusters, Pool. And we're going to get together and workshop a campaign idea along with their characters, where they start, what they're going to do. This is typically how we start tabletop RPGs, so that everybody knows each other and is interconnected. Their characters, I mean. We all obviously know each other.
Can you ever really know me, Josh?
Only biblically. If you're into live play podcasts and that kind of thing, please tune in. We're going to have a fucking blast.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
With so few rules, how could it not be funny?
All right, guys.
That's terrifying.
Let me. How do we sign?
It's the sound of the guff coming over the hill.
We need to sign off, guys. We don't have one.
Deep from the RPG bunker.
Good night and go fuck yourself.
Good night and go fuck yourself.
And to any of our non-Patreon listeners, fuck you.
You can also reach us on Twitter. We are at Homebrew Hombres. I know that's hard to spell. Make sure it's plural because the other guy is just a guy who makes his own beer. which we, you know, if it's any good, we'd like to try it too. We also have a Facebook page at facebook.com/RPGFS.
If you're your mom, find us on Facebook.
If you are your mom. All right, goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.